It's time for Slam.
We back. Yeah, I'm back. To those of you who said I was running from the smoke, far from it, bro. Come on, I'm the voice of reason. I never run from the smoke. I was just...
You know, we mentioned a lot of times last week. We don't call you by your name anymore.
Yeah, and I like that. And to my haters, and you know yourself, you know who I'm talking to that says I gave myself this nickname. I didn't give myself this nickname. I was given this nickname. I'm not Paul George. I earned this nickname.
Who gave you the name though?
Wally.
The voice of reason.
Yeah.
That's the original voice. We need to invite him to actually. Wally, if you listen to this, please tell me listen to this. There are some allegations coming to you right now, bro. You were the one that called him the voice of reason, and we want to know the reason and the thought process behind this at this point now. Thank you very much.
Okay, but no, I wasn't talking no smoke. I just had a lot on my plate, and we promised to be releasing content every Monday, so I couldn't make the last recording. I didn't even watch the game against Man U. I had to rewatch the full game when I got back home.
Wait, and you know we were not available last week, because last week was just annoying because of sorry about the Queen. Anyways, that's one.
Yeah, rest in peace to Queen Elizabeth, you know. But, you know, now I'm back in the flesh, live and direct.
Direct in effect. You know what time it is.
Yeah. And obviously with me is Tfunta, you already know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, man, we're just going to get into it. I think we're starting with... actually, I'm going to start with this because, like, it really irritated me over the weekend, the whole Vinicius Jr. situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it made any sense.
I mean, it's never made sense.
It's ridiculous. Like, Griezmann had been doing Fortnite celebrations for years now. At least four years.
I mean, I'm not...
No, 6 years.
Griezmann...
6 years.
Griezmann was doing six years.
At least 6 years now. At least 6 years he's been doing, and all of a sudden it's a problem when Vinicius is celebrating. Saw the game again between Madrid and Atletico today. It was unbearable to watch, like, the build-up, what Atletico fans did today. They should be ashamed of themselves. Hang your head in shame. You deserve to lose that game. You don't even deserve to get anything out of this season just because of what you guys did today. It was extremely embarrassing. But, you know, at the end of the day, saw what happened. Rodrigo scores.
And he dances.
Goes over and dances with everyone.
You know, pause. You know, I said something here. I said, see, Vinicius is a better human being than me, bro. If I scored, you know how, I'm going to call it, this guy, Ashake is dancing right now, Joha, bro. I'm telling you, I'll go and wear my own jeans. Man. I'll literally bring my own speaker and dance Joha there because they are mad. I just think, like, why is it that, you know, this was something we're talking about before the podcast. Like, one thing that I wanted to address is, why is having a life outside football or having a personality,
having character, having
something interesting in this sport very, very a problem? Like, you guys are boring. British people are boring. That's why they have I know I can't say that before they cancel me.
Europeans in general.
I just there's just a lot of things.
Every single footballer you see with some sort of character or attitude, they get shut down. You see Neymar. You see the way people talk about Neymar. Oh, he's a diver. He's all about the theatrics.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he has the skills and tricks, but
guys, Neymar is really coming to dunk on you guys' head.
What's his name?
What do you call it?
Gabi Agbonlahor, I think. I'm not sure. I don't want to misquote. One of those talk sports people said Luis Diaz is better than Neymar.
Luis Diaz.
Bro.
No. I don't want to. You know what? I'm just gonna have to do a segue because I didn't want to. Neymar Jr. is very, very disrespected in this sport. And I feel like he's one of the last of the kind who give us what it means to be just a natural footballer who enjoys playing the sport. And I'm sorry, y'all can go eat whatever you want to eat, because, bro, Neymar is that guy. And if you want to take it, because all you guys have said is diving, diving, diving. Obviously, a player like that needs to be protected, bro. I'm going to even say this. I don't think many people have watched the Neymar documentary, but you know you almost stopped because of that injury in 2014 World Cup. They said he had a spinal injury that would have almost not made him walk again.
Walk.
Oh, wow.
I didn't watch
not play, walk. There are a lot of things about Neymar. I'm just saying, having a player who shows his personality on the football, I don't know. Didn't you guys grow up watching Ronaldinho?
So boring, man. All of them are so boring. I'm telling you, look at the world of basketball. A rookie last year in Jalen Green was saying, I'm a certified bucket. Of course. You talk your talk, and if you can back your talk, that means
we enjoy it.
That's everything.
But another thing is that Zlatan has been talking like that, but we glorify him, eh?
Facts.
We glorify him, eh? Vinicius was just dancing. He's Brazilian. What did you expect? Facts. Didn't you guys see R9? Didn't you see Rivaldo? All these players, Brazilians, who were doing it all this while, you now want to come and start shouting.
I've never known dancing to be a problem. If anything, if that's the case, any celebration is disrespectful to the opposition.
Like, Griezmann has been really doing this actually for a long time.
Since at least six years.
Hey, let's not even forget Griezmann too. With the blackface. Let's not forget all these things, because all of a sudden, you guys are just finding something. I can't believe they called him a black monkey, and you saw what happened today. The video of thousands of fans moving with against. I'm just saying, at some point, I don't even know. I think it's not naughtiness. It's just like...
It's ridiculous. It's
this
unacceptable.
This is people's lives. You can't say it's even... Like, it's unacceptable. But at this point, it's just like... It's confusing. Because to me, I'm just like... He just danced.
Football fans
after
are so
scoring.
Scary.
Football fans generally are so boring. And you know, you've been saying this for a while. You want players who talk their shit talk. And which brings me to... Oh, my God. I don't want us to go into Arsenal. But you know this nice kickabout thing, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, big up your damn self, Gabriel, wherever you are.
This is nice
big
kick
up
about
your damn self.
Me, at first, I was just like, what is he mentioning? But I just thought to myself, I read one tweet that I can't now call me back. It's like, we've been looking for players to do a lot of like shit talking here in this sport. Now we are finally having that. Like, you guys are so like adamant and every single, you guys are so questioning.
We'll get into them, but like, I think the reaction to Vinicius dancing is just a joke. I think it's utterly ridiculous. Everybody knows it's a Brazilian thing. Mm-hmm. When you score, you know, you do the samba or something, just something different. That's why Brazilians enjoy their football. You see the way they play, they express themselves with their football. And then it's not even just okay. Obviously, Vinicius's own took a step forward with the racial profiling and all. But in general, these days, I don't understand why people get so infuriated when people celebrate their goals.
What happened?
Like Adrian, whatever his useless
Adrian
name
Clark.
Is from being Adrian Clark.
Yeah.
No, it's
no,
not Adrian Clark. Adrian Clark is on Arsenal. Adrian Keys or something from Bein Sports. Bro, he literally.
Oh, no, Richard Keys. From Bein Sports.
Richard Keys. Literally opened his mouth to say, oh, Arteta irritates me. I don't know. Like, he said, I can't even hide the fact that he irritates me. How are you allowed to say that on air?
You know, another thing I've realized from punditry and everything is that most pundits have no idea what they're saying.
They're so miserable.
They are actually so miserable. I think they just miss
winching because players are celebrating for winning games.
Punditry these days, yeah, I think there are even more people in the content creating media, not even to hype us up, but like they're literally more analysis in pre, like my pre-game analysis when I want to watch a game is usually from Twitter.
Give me culture comms and Mayowa for
pre-game
analysis.
That's what
no,
I'm
I don't want food because it's express fun.
But what we're saying is that, you know, like they're sucking the life out of this game. And that's just it.
They're all miserable old ogres. That's what they all are. Every single one of those punts. Obviously, there's the good ones. I like I'm not going to try and remember his name right now. But
Nigel De Jong.
No, he's not really a pundit, but like I get where he's coming from. He's the guy from, I can't remember his name. If I remember his name, I'll say it. But he is a good pundit. But aside him, Richard Keys, Tim Sherwood, all these Owen, all these guys have limited knowledge.
Tim Sherwood still has it. Like the fact that these people still have jobs. I'm sorry to call it out. In fact, why am I apologizing? They're crap. Like, the fact they're still in jobs. Anyways, let's not waste
I just don't like the fact that they're being single. Not just Arsenal, but teams are being singled out for celebrating goals and victories.
No,
and players are now facing
Richarlison too. Let's not even go to that Richarlison one too.
Exactly. Showboating is disrespectful.
You know what? You know Vinny did it today too as well.
It's ridiculous. Give me the price. Why are you sucking the fun out of the sport? Bro. I mean, yeah, but great win for Real Madrid over Atletico today.
Atletico should have been 10-0. I can't even lie to you, man. Simeone is just horrible. Oh, yes.
Don't get into Allegri. We don't have time
for Allegri. I didn't know I was going to get into Allegri today. No. But later, for every time, bro.
Yeah, but let's get into the proper football itself before we talk about the other matters. Let's start with the Champions League. Just a quick recap of the Champions League. Bayern against Barcelona. I felt like Barcelona had a lot of chances in the first half.
Just their chances. Even in the second half, they had better.
They just didn't take their chances as far as I was concerned. As for Bayern, it's looking a bit fluky for them in the Bundesliga.
Drawn 3, lost 1.
Yeah, they're saying Mane is looking mid. And
Julian Nagelsmann, I like you, bro. Don't let me down. But one thing I'm saying is that I see that Bayern is no longer the, Bayern.
Is it Lewy?
Yes, Lewandowski's influence is bigger than we thought. Because even Haaland too, let's be honest, Haaland is chopping up Premier League. I mean, I don't even know how many goals. I've forgotten. I know he has like 15.
11 goals in Premier League.
11 goals in 7 games.
In Premier League, yeah.
In Premier League, 11 goals in 7 games. Lewandowski was a 40 goal per season striker, bro. You don't lose a 40 goal per season striker and not struggle. Real Madrid, when they lost Ronaldo, the first season they struggled. All of these things, like, the thing is that with Bundesliga, you know, the Bundesliga tax and everything, but those two have evaded the tax quickly. And that tax is heavy because those guys are good players. You can't underestimate what a 40 goal per season striker can do for you. Lewandowski is that guy. You can go direct to him as a striker. But now they don't. They are playing with a recognized striker.
Yeah.
Mane is good, but Mane can't replace Lewandowski.
Yeah.
And also, I think
two different profiles.
Right. And also, when you think about like Nagelsmann is changing this thing to be more Red Bull kind of ball and a Red Bull.
Yeah. It's not looking good right now, but I trust Bayern too. They have quality players everywhere.
They'll find a way out of it.
They ended up winning winning Barcelona. Haaland's, let's not even get into Haaland's goal against Dortmund because we're not going to finish today.
The Cancelo kick. You know, Cancelo is a Cancelo is a unicorn. Shout out to Mario, where he said Cancelo is a unicorn. And it's not the first time we've seen him do that.
It's not even the second or third time I've seen him play that exact pass.
But you know the funny thing? I think like people underestimated the goal because I'm just saying Haaland hit that ball and it was flying and he literally...
Man,
we
cannot compete, man. We cannot compete. There's Haaland, there's Chelsea. Bro,
we need to spend some time
Potter
with Chelsea. Because we've not spoken about Tuchel yet.
He shaved his beard up, got a fade, got a nice suit. I'm thinking, I ain't never ever seen you act this way before. Like, bruh, big up Graham Potter though. So I think we should get into Chelsea. A quick roundup on the other Champions League results. Yeah, did I miss anyone? AC Milan.
We did not talk about
AC Milan, really good performance against Zagreb.
Napoli Napoli. We didn't speak about that one too.
Napoli, Liverpool, but that was 2 weeks ago, so we can't dwell on that. Napoli, who they play again? The one where Zielinski missed two penalties. Rangers, yeah. Yeah, that was a really good performance from Napoli. Really good goal from...
What do you even think about Napoli? Napoli won against Milan today.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Really good goal from Ndombele. They're having a really good season.
And they have squad depth.
Spalletti's balling out. Yeah.
They have a squad depth,
Spalletti has
bro.
Those boys balling out.
Can we talk about
Kvaratskhelia? UV!
Wait, Kvaratskhelia.
Go on. You know, he's... Yeah, number 77. Yeah.
You know when someone said, look at Jack Grealish, but with pace. You cannot unsee that guy. The way he moves with the ball. And when you think about how he came to, how he came to Napoli, because he was playing in Ukraine, but because of what happened in Ukraine, they got him for a cut price of £10 million, €10 million.
He's a baller.
He's a baller. Kvaratskhelia is coming.
He's a baller. And UV, it's not looking good, bruv.
I need a moment to speak on
you. It's not looking. We don't have time for Allegri because we need a 40-minute segment for you to talk about Allegri.
Oh my god!
But he's a fraud.
He's not a fraud. He's just not evolved.
He's a fraud.
You know, let's be honest.
I didn't say he was
a fraud. Okay.
Right
okay.
Now he's fraudulent.
And the thing is that they can sack him.
How much is it going to cost them?
Payoff. Guess the payoff. We're talking about close to almost 15-20 million.
Man, he's doing it on purpose, man. He wants to get that man wants a huge payday, bro. They lost to Monza today.
Yeah.
Lost to Benfica.
Benfica are one of the teams that have 100%. I can't remember. I know they've not really lost a game this season.
Lost to Monza, lost to Benfica, and they drew their last game even though they had a goal incorrectly ruled out for offside. VAR lost to PSG.
And I think they've drawn 3 or 4-3. It's been boring.
It's not looking good for them.
It's been appalling. And you know what? Dusan Vlahovic. Don't do that, man. Dusan Vlahovic. Mm-hmm.
Is enough for the wise.
Dusan Vlahovic. You shouldn't have moved there, man. You shouldn't have moved there. I'm
telling
just...
every single Italian, if you're listening to this podcast, do not blind yourself with Juventus. Like, I know Vlahovic is not Italian, but every single Serie A player thinks Juventus is the pinnacle of success.
Well, it looks like that. It's, no! You've grown up this way. What does something grow? But, like, Juventus are the best
but
team.
They are not. They've not been the best team in Italy for 3 years now.
Okay, no, they are the... Well, I would say they're the biggest, actually, though.
They're not bigger than any of the Milan teams.
So why did they move there? Because I prefer you. Well, Milan and both Milan teams are running on sustainable, except Inter Milan, who are struggling a bit.
It's not the pinnacle of... Locatelli, you too. You deserve this.
Boy, he's been injured, really.
Man, that ain't my business, man. Y'all deserve this, bro. Y'all deserve this.
So, context. He wanted them in Arsenal. They didn't come, so...
I wrote Locatelli a whole message in Italian.
He's one of those guys.
He's one of those guys to come to Arsenal, and this man spat in my face.
One of those guys that goes that.
Nah, you deserve it, fam. You deserve it. You deserve it. Did I miss any other Champions League result? Obviously, Madrid won
twice. They won the last two.
Yeah. Liverpool. That was a huge win for them against Ajax after they got demolished. By Napoli, yeah.
But Mohamed Kudus, bro. They got a boy there.
Solid, yes.
Ghana has a boy there, bro.
That was a really good finish. That was a really, really good finish. Yeah, I think we've pretty much covered all the teams.
Major teams and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Man City, Dortmund.
Yeah, PSG. Neymarzito.
Neymar's a goal-scoring form as well, too.
Neymar. Yeah, so quickly, let's get into the Premier League and leave... Actually, I think I want to start with the teams that played this week before we get into Chelsea.
Let's start from Arsenal. Arsenal. I just want to
start from the top of the table.
Okay. Arsenal. I saw the score this morning and I was just like, yeah, you know when you have that first scare when you know that a team scares you a bit.
Mm.
That's how I feel about Arsenal now.
I had mine for Liverpool. Believe it or not, it was the game against Swansea where they won 5-2.
Uh-huh.
That Coutinho scored that goal.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I started to think, like, oh, Jurgen Klopp is cooking something.
Oh, yeah. I watched the game after I came back this afternoon.
I watched the game from
start. And I was just like, and I saw some of the chances and some of the movements. Me, I'm a positional play addict. I love positional play, but, you know, as much as positional play is more regimented in some cases, Arsenal's positional play is not as regimented as the major people because it still encourages
fluidity.
And what I saw from, like, there was a chance, the Saka shot, Fabio Vieira's one was
based on thinking about the, there were 20 passes before Fabio Vieira's goal. 20 passes before Fabio Vieira's goal.
I mean, I don't think the passes matter genuinely.
Yeah.
I don't think the passes matter because that is just a brilliant shot.
Yeah, but if you look at the first attack, Arsenal, do me a favor. I'm not even saying watch the full game. Just watch the first 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And see the first attack Arsenal put together. Coming into Brentford's home, thinking about the whole results of last year.
Nice kick
when off. Sky Sports did the whole analysis on Ben White and how they can exploit him and all that. First minute, Arsenal mocked Brentford with their press and should have been 1-0 up if Martinelli didn't slip. And it's not one of those fortunate chances. They carved them open with almost 20-25 team passes. They didn't get a touch of the ball until Martinelli slipped and missed that.
Yeah, I think... I saw that chance. I remember now. But, you know...
I tweeted this. I said, I'm not going to act like I watch Brentford every single time. But the little time I watch them, especially against the top teams, I don't think I've ever seen them dominated in every facet like they were today. I mean,
even what we're seeing from today was like XG shows that they were played as well too.
Every facet of the game,
Gabriel Jesus is someone that creates chances out of nothing, and it kind of makes me angry. Where it's just like, I knew you had this in you, but it's that you're playing for Arsenal. Like, I've always known Gabriel Jesus, you know, from human time and everything. There was a time where I was like, I'm moving my socks, but I was like, nah, I have seen this guy play for Brazil in a free system where they are Brazilians balling out. That's Copa America 2019. I knew Jesus was good to me, but when I said, you know what, I'm personally buying stocks into you, is that moment. So, but when I see Gabriel Jesus, the one thing, and you know what, I realized that maybe I have overstated that the squad depth thing, because it's not that bad as we think.
The difference between, and that's why I was telling you,
mm-hmm.
The difference between this year and last year is when we have injuries, the drop off in quality is barely noticeable. Yeah. Zinchenko is out injured. Tierney steps in, and to those of you Arsenal fans who were calling him Tierney, saying we should cash him for 50 million, you should be ashamed of yourself. This man has been consistently class for us, regardless of his injuries. Played a major role in us winning the FA Cup in 2020. Put some respect on his name. Ben White gets injured.
Can I even speak of Ben White as well too? Ben White has been disrespected.
Not just by Gareth Southgate. I'm talking about by football fans, by Arsenal fans as well, trying to prove a point about Arteta and Saliba. That man is class.
Ben White was disrespected by me at first. Like this, I always say when I was wrong about a player. But Ben White has been very good. Like the right back thing, when you think about it, it even makes more sense. Like he's benching your starting right back in Tomiyasu. Cedric is not playing any game as much as possible as well too. So
Odegaard gets injured, Fabio Vieira goes straight up.
You know, the fact that Fabio Vieira signing just makes me think, they know what they are doing, because mm-hmm. it makes more sense. When I even saw him play today, I was just like, when I saw him moving the ball, I was like, it's not looking good for the rest of us.
Yeah, they're different profiles of players. Because, like, I personally, from what I saw today, mm-hmm. Odegaard is more involved in the build-up, you know.
Yeah, how's Fabio Vieira?
Links up the play very well. Fabio Vieira is more of a, like, what does it call? Final third demon. That's what I think it is.
Oh, he doesn't help in build-up?
It's not that he doesn't help. It's just that where he standouts, where Odegaard standouts in build up and link up, mm-hmm. the linking up the play, mm-hmm. he stands out as a final third demon of based off of what I have seen
just from the one game
so far. Today. Yes.
Okay, sure.
And not just this game, the game against Zurich as well.
Too.
Yeah, and shout out Ethan Wanyeri, you know, youngest player in the that man's about to be the most popular guy in his school in his ends.
Dino.
Yeah, big him up. I also want to talk about, obviously, you know how I feel about Saliba, Jesus, Saka, Martinelli.
It's a good team.
I'm not praising five, but Xhaka. I need to talk about Granit Xhaka because...
Half space demon. My half space guy.
I came on this podcast last year after the red card against Liverpool. Oh, then it was this year. And I said, I'm done with Xhaka. And that would be the fourth time I've said I'm done with Xhaka since we signed him.
Sounds like a toxic relationship, bro. And he would have won me back. Sounds like a toxic relationship.
And this time around, I'm here to stay because the way he played today was just absolutely phenomenal. He had everything under control. He was there for Partey when Partey needed him to be there for him. Every facet of the gameplay, he totally dominated. His footprints were all over that game, and he doesn't get any... Okay, I think the pass for Gabriel Jesus' header was just sensational. You know when you watch American football and they say the QB put it where only his receiver could get it? Xhaka put that pass only where Jesus could get it. And, you know, the ability of Jesus to generate that much power in that header, mm-hmm. amazing. Like, this is Brentford we're talking about.
Brentford is no slouch.
They're no scrubs.
Did you
say Fulham?
Fulham ain't no slouch, dude.
No, okay, like, they're not Bournemouth. They're not scrubs.
Oi, there are a lot of people I want to call out today. Sorry, side note. Do you know Newcastle have just one win in this
season?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Oh, my God.
I saw that Tuchel must be licking his lips.
Tuchel has many job offers waiting for him, bro. He doesn't know. I know a lot.
But big up Arsenal. They look like they're in that. They have finally got into that stage where they're like, we can see the evidence of this process.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
And I can 1,000% get behind this.
You know what, people? You know, I'm not the person that jumped. You know, I'll jump the gun a bit. Arsenal might be in the title race. And it's okay to say that.
Did you see what I posted on my Instagram story? Bad man, move in silence. We move in silence. We pick up 3 points in silence.
You have 17 points.
From what?
But 17 points from.
But we move in silence.
Is it 17 points?
17? No, 18.
Yeah, 18. 18 points. 18 from.
18 from 20 from possible 21.
From. That's. What do you mean? That's even.
Hey.
Okay, you know what? I'm not saying you guys will win the title race, but you look more of a stable.
If we're in a title, I don't think I'll be able to handle Aston in a title race.
You just probably have at your young age, heart attack, bro.
Talk about City. I mean, what is there anything? Like, I don't even think we need to talk about City on this podcast anymore.
We cannot compete, bro.
Because we just say the same thing over and over every week.
No, but I'll actually disagree a bit. City have not been the best. I'm sorry to say, but they have not been the best.
You know, I feel like you guys, this happens every
no,
year.
No, but they've not been. No, but this is what they're saying. This is their record.
Every
no,
year.
No, they've not
Wait.
Been the best, but they are going to get better. We know
this,
that. I've said that.
This happens every year.
But
everybody starts.
Let's talk about the present.
Okay, I think the biggest issue with City, and I told you they were going to experience it, was the fact that they lost too much in losing both Sterling and Jesus in one summer.
That's the issue?
Yeah.
That don't look like an issue now.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, you get everybody said, oh, City doesn't look that good. They don't look as good as they did last year. Okay.
No, but you know what's funny? I know why they don't look bad. Like, you know, there are some players that you just have to accept that... For you, my brother, we're going to do everything to make sure.
Bro.
Like you cannot... There are players I expect you... Like, you know, when you want strict positional... A strict form of system. But some players... In fact, players need to fit... Your players need to define your system. And I think Pep has realized, you know what? Screw all of my... Because City what don't really
position and play when you have Haaland. Bro.
Like all the touches and everything.
Leave all that.
Oof
the ball in and let Haaland said his biggest dream is to have five touches, five goals.
That's a self-aware man who knows that. Listen, I'm a killer.
One touch, bang.
And the funny thing is that this goal even scored against Wolves was his first touch. It was his
was the only goal with more than one touch?
More than one touch, and yeah, actually, it was outside the box too.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, it's just like then KDB is on smoke.
That's what I'm saying.
You know that is cross every single time when he does. It's just like I always want to ask players how they feel in that situation where you see a player knowing that you are there standing in that box, but you know that ball is not, you're not touching that ball.
At some point, we need to accept the Brenner has entered the Gerrard, Steven.
Oh yeah, he's
Gerrard, he's Lampard, Scholes, Yaya Toure debates.
More PFA play. I mean, some of the PFA playing thing was robbery. He's that guy.
He's everything. And
keeps
more.
Doing it. Did he score in that last game?
No. He assisted Grealish and Foden. A lot of people call Grealish mid this week.
Grealish is not mid. Yeah. It's just like...
No.
Let's pause on that.
It's an insane drop-off, though, from Sterling on the wing to Grealish on the wing.
But they're two different kind of players.
That's exactly what I'm saying. But you can still see the drop-off. Like, those intricate movements that Sterling offers, opening up his body, finishing at the far corner, Grealish doesn't really have all that.
He's an outlet, too.
He's an outlet as well.
But that's the thing, like... When you think about it, I still think they need a player in this mode of Sterling.
Julian Alvarez.
See what we said, that he can also play that way. I'm just saying that it's just like Grealish's form is not really has been appalling. We have to call it spade a spade. The same thing I would say, you know what, I'll raise my hand up too for Jadon Sancho and Anthony scare me because those men do not beat their man at all, bro. Like, let's call it spade a spade. Those men are not really looking good, but the wins are there. But for Grealish, it's a situation where I feel like we cannot just underestimate Grealish yet.
I don't, but
I'm just sad. I don't think he should have gone to City.
I think a lot of people are sleeping on Grealish. I think they're overdoing it.
No, obviously. I don't think he should have gone to City. He will eventually figure out something in City.
Yeah.
But I just think, like,
maybe having him out on the wing might be the problem. Maybe he should play as a number eight. Yeah, interior.
Well, interior. There are too many players.
Does he have the work rate to play as an interior?
Well, many questions. It's not like they'll not figure it out. Please, why are we talking about them?
Yeah, but
they'll be fine.
We need to talk about both teams from the game yesterday. Leicester and Tottenham. From a Spurs point of view, it's like I said, it's like I've been saying, it's like I'm going to keep saying. They don't look good, but it doesn't matter how you look. It matters what you pick up, and all they pick up is 3 points.
I actually also realized that, you know what, I think we even said this last week, 2 weeks ago. Me and Bull were talking about it. We kept saying that, okay, Spurs confuse us in as much that they give you the possession. And some questions are just like, are they trying to control the game without the ball? Yes, I think they are. But at some point, you're always like, this is not probably the right way to do it. But at some point, you also realize maybe they're just playing to their player strength because they are good transition team.
The only place I can doubt Antonio Conte is Europe.
Every day, every time.
If we're staying...
Oh, shout out Sporting too. We didn't mention that.
Yeah. What a second goal. Emerson Royal. Yikes. but the Spurs, Son looked absolutely sensational yesterday.
13-minute hat-trick. Let me say it again. And I will say it again. Son is a fantastic player, but he's a streaky purple man.
I'm starting to see what you mean by purple patch player.
He's a streaky player where he's like, let's not forget that he's just gone like how many games? 8, 10 games without a goal? Starting
six Premier League games. Oh, you mean including Champions League games as well. Because he didn't even start yesterday.
Because Richarlison,
people have been calling for him to be dropped.
And he got dropped. And he responded, but you know what? That first goal, as soon as I saw that first goal, trying him shooting from... That's I can say, okay, you know what? Fair enough. You're a streaky player. But the fact that you score your first goal that way, although we have Daniel Ward or what is it?
That's what you call chat shit. Get banged.
Like, he did it twice.
Like, people been talking crazy on his name, and
he did
like,
it. I'm not talking crazy against your name. I'm just telling you, your form always shows that. Now he's about to go in a crazy mad goal scoring form.
You have Arsenal next. We can't let that happen.
That's what he said. Right on time for the North London. Where's the North London derby?
It's in the Emirates. So they're getting the smoke. What? Nene, come at me, fam. Say something.
Really?
They're getting the smoke, fam.
Same day Manchester derby. Jesus.
Trust. Yeah, as for Leicester, James Maddison, fantastic. In a team full of have-beens, he's the only one that he's the only one that hasn't let his standard drop through the season. His goal yesterday was sensational, but Leicester are trash.
Yes, they are. They're but trash. Context is important.
I understand the context.
Context is heavily important.
These are
important.
The same players who were fighting for top four last year. Did they magic two years ago? Did they magically lose it?
The status of your dressing room can get weak in any time. Brendan Rodgers came back from the summer hoping to be able to change his squad. And I already told some players, yeah, we might not need you.
Why did he hope to change his squad?
Because that was the promise. Then he came back and all of a sudden they said, now we don't have the money anymore. So imagine the whole chaos, and now they can't even sack him because it's another Allegri situation. So it's another thing that Leicester, for what we thought that was a well-run club, all of a sudden now, I heard they even recorded one of the highest debts in Premier League.
It's looking
171 million. I've forgotten the debt.
I wish I had powers. I would replay back to probably the last episode of the old Comunicado Oficial podcast.
You're trying to call me out.
Where I said, I don't think Leicester are what people think they are. And eventually, it's going to get found out that they are not real top four contenders. I mean, I guess we see why Wally calls me the voice of reason now.
One?
Nah, let's not do that, fam. Don't let me bring up the Luka Doncic and Son's clip.
Oh, we're trying to bring in the
voice of reason is general. It's general.
This guy, man.
Also, Danny Ward, please, like, do yourself a favor.
No, Leicester need to do themselves a favor. Look at your...
I don't know why they didn't go for Brent Leno, though.
Brent Leno... There are a lot of things that go into transfer. People always annoy me with that. That Brent Leno annoys me because what happened was Brent Leno did not want to leave London.
But you can at least try. I don't think they tried.
Where's the money? Look at their signings.
We sold him for 2 million.
That's what I'm saying. That is not even 2 million at the end. What? Is it 2 million?
It's 3 million in general.
3 million. Then
it's rise to 8 million.
Well, I don't even know. Like, Leicester's situation, they should have gone for Berlino, but I don't think Berlino wanted to leave London and everything, like all of that.
I don't think I've ever seen a situation where a club loses their number one keeper and then the second keeper naturally becomes great.
For 1 million too, like, a lot of things just, what's going on? Leicester lost their director of football or head scout or something, head of recruitment in summer. A lot of situations there. That place is a mess, bro.
With Danny Ward, they are
I just think, like, you know what? They just need to find a way. Look at your young goalkeepers. They can't tell me that there's one better.
So do you think Rodgers deserves the sack?
He has to be sacked. Because the dressing room is still, like, there are times where you have to come to a point where it's like, the dressing room is still. You have to sack the person because you can't sack 25 players.
Yeah.
Tillemans that was destined to leave is still in Leicester.
And the truth is,
there's a lot of things. Yeah, Sumari was meant to leave. He didn't get his move. What do you call it? There are a lot of players. Not Castagna. Soyuncu too. All of that. Vestergaard, is he still there? Yeah, Vestergaard.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things just, like, there's a lot of, the dressing room is too still from a situation where some players thought they were meant to leave. Now they are not leaving anymore. Now they are here. They have to play their sort, and they can't trust the manager. They've lost a lot of players. They've lost the leader, Max Wacha. I'm sorry, Kasper Schmeichel. I don't know why Max Wacha came to my mind. So a lot of there's too much chaos for them to even think of anything. So yeah, bring in Brent, take sack Brendan Rodgers.
At the end of the day, these players are still players with extreme quality. I've seen what Yuri Tillemans can do. I've seen what
James Madison has got his quality.
We are still seeing what Madders can do. I've seen Ricardo Pereira, what he can do.
He's out injured again.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Like, there's just Alfred and Didi, but
it's not looking.
The progressive allegations are finally hitting.
Something that I've been saying, everybody has telling me that we should go and say. I said, no, that guy cannot progress the ball at all.
Progressive allegations are hitting. It might be the same thing Casemiro is going through.
Casemiro is not that bad on the ball, but like I said, I'm not even excited about that one.
Yeah. Then, okay, so that's enough for the team, except for Everton, got their first win this weekend. Alex Iwobi?
Can we give an apology to Lampard a little bit?
For doing what? Drawing 4 games in a row and winning one?
I mean, he's not been bad. Look at this.
What he's done and by putting Alex Iwobi in the midfield, class.
Number 8, bro.
Class.
It's not even a number. I think he plays in the double pivot.
No. I think he's their most advanced midfielder.
Really? The positions I see him, I'm more equipped to take. They played Onana Doucouré. Did they play Doucouré today?
No. Idrissa Gana-Gueye.
Idrissa, Onana, and him.
He will be, yeah.
So it was like a 4-3-3. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I love what I've seen from Iwobi. He's not taking that step we expected him to take, but he has definitely improved his game.
Yeah.
His final ball is really starting to finally improve. I mean, big up Everton, big up Lampard, got their first win of the season today. West Ham, on the contrary, Paqueta was very, very, very extremely underwhelming today.
Moyes has too many tools. He doesn't know how to use it.
Scamaca is sitting on the bench.
And he scores every game that he starts.
Yeah, this is something I want
and
to say.
And this Rice and Soucek midfield too. That's what someone's mentioning to me, like, is he using this player as well?
I need to say something. For somebody who has never beat, for people who have never beaten Teta, the general consensus that both Bruno Lage and David Moyes are better coaches than him is just never going to sit right with me.
I mean, let's be honest. Everyone was talking. I doubted Arteta.
Because a lot of people seem, Moyes is better than him. Bruno Lage is better than him. But they're really not.
Didn't he have that about Arteta too?
I did. But not to the extent. I never thought Bruno Lage was better than him.
At some point, we thought Bruno Lage was very good.
I thought he was a good coach. I never said he was better than Teta. I still think he's a good coach.
I don't think he was better than Arteta. Yeah. I've always had my doubts about Arteta because of his decisions and everything. But after knowing him and All or Nothing literally helped us to see him.
It looks very PR. Like, yeah. I wasn't really impressed with All or Nothing, to be fair. I expected more. But yeah, that's it from teams that played. Let's go to one team that didn't play. Chelsea.
Can we first of all give ourselves a round of applause for being telling us? We've been saying this about Thomas Tuchel for a while, and I didn't want him to get sacked.
I thought he deserved a bit more time.
I didn't want him to get sacked, but there was a situation where we kept on saying that it's not looking good. And the one thing from Chelsea fans was like, give him time. And I understood that. But also the thing that was confusing me was they said the problem is shooting and everything, but they were not getting the good positions to shoot. Most of their game was going back and front,
Rich James, sideways,
cross, corner, all of that. That's what was happening. Like, if you look at, I know people say I talk too much about stats and everything, that they hate XG. But the one thing is that you need to look, Arsenal's, how you know a team is progressing and how you know a team is trying is if they are creating quality chances, and Chelsea were not creating quality chances.
Mm-hmm.
You can say they're not scoring, but are they creating chances? Are they getting into the spaces, into the right spaces where the chances can be converted? You can say they don't have good finishers in their team, but were they creating enough?
Two things can be true.
Yeah. Two things can be true.
Two things can
they
be
don't,
true.
But also, were you playing these players to your strengths? No, you're not.
What is Kai Havertz's strength?
I don't know. I think he's a
room deter.
What do you call that thing?
Yeah, Wombula is.
Yeah. where he just evades space and everything. But
I don't know.
Can you really say he's a number 10?
Because for Iwobi to be a better shooter than you, then something is fundamentally wrong with your shooting. And Havertz genuinely shoots like he's not trying to score.
Does he even shoot at times? Havertz.
I don't know what he's great at. I can tell you what Sterling is great at. I think Pulisic is only rated because he's American. So he's the LeBron James of the Premier League. But I don't think he's great. Werner is obviously been shifted off.
Pulisic is not good.
Reece James is starting to look better than Trent in my eyes. I'm starting to jump on that argument. I'm starting to jump on that bandwagon.
Finally,
but
you know what? Fair enough. We'll
I still think Kovacic. I don't think Kante is good enough anymore, or I don't think he's fit enough. He might be good enough, but he's not fit
Kante
enough.
Kante cannot play the game he plays anymore because he is going to be 30 on his last day of contract, and apparently their contract talks have stalled or like at an impasse right now.
I like Jorginho, but
Jorginho has the tools, but he doesn't have the. His weaknesses outweighs Trent a lot, but you know. Like, another thing is that we can also say maybe that Chelsea team is not as good as we think.
I mean, the Champions League did them a favor, but also didn't do them
any
favor
at all.
Missy Mount, bro. Man like Pat Bev, what are you telling me, bro? Running around the pitch doing absolutely nothing.
He tricked you off. Well, he didn't. He tricked me.
He tricked me. I used to call him Money Maze.
He tricked us. He tricked us on this pod. But at the same time, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying.
He's doing nothing.
Not as good. You know, I was talking to someone about this as well, too, that Chelsea also lack a creative player. And I was like, James Maddison could solve the work. And I was just like... And
Carl Anka doesn't seem to buy into the Maddison hype, though.
Carl? Oh, from The Athletic?
Yeah.
I don't think he rates him, but he doesn't rate... He doesn't think he should be in Southgate's team.
I don't think that makes any sense.
Because, like, Southgate has his team and all that. Why are we shifting? We'll come to Southgate later. But let's talk. Chelsea, Tuchel is gone. But apparently, you know, Todd Bowley. That guy kills me. The 4-4-3 thing.
4-4-3 was hilarious.
4-4-3.
4-4-3
But someone came out. Someone said something like, maybe he came out and he was like, you know, Americans usually put goalkeepers in their formations as well, too.
Then how could you put instead of 3-4-3, 4-4-3
America? But it's still funny. It's still funny. And the thing is that you
imagine
know what?
Being Tuchel and hearing your owner saying, "Yo, you know he's American. So tell me, what do you think about us playing a 4-4-3?" Bro's probably gonna be there like, "What?"
And you know what? Tuchel wanted Tuchel. Listen, this is why I'm not gonna use that word. This is another thing is that they expected Tuchel to be a director of football. A sporting director.
No clear distinction of roles.
And the thing is that you can't.
And I think they hired one today as well.
Yeah, no. The Chris Ford, Foyne or something. I can't quite remember his name. But he's from Salzburg. So Red Bull allegations. One of Ragnick's.
Varido, wow.
Huh?
Varido.
No, he's for Salzburg.
Oh.
But you know, it's Red Bull. You know, even Todd Bowley said he likes the Red Bull structure where they have Salzburg and Leipzig.
I actually like Todd Bowley.
No, I do like him. I see his ideas.
I think he's smarter than I gave him credit for. Simply because I didn't credit him simply because he was American.
Yeah, and I'll say, but the thing is that you know, like Todd Bowley came in, he backed a manager, or will I even say even backed him, or he just knew he was signing players. Because like even Hudson Odoi came out today and he was like, you know what, just go on loan. That's why I didn't put an option to buy on Leverkusen deal. Because I know Todd Bowley now wants to build a team with youngsters. Like that's why they're bringing the stats guy in, the guy from Salzburg, Ragnick. That is Ragnick's line and everything. So when you think about it, like he has his ideas. He has probably done his study and everything. But the thing is that he doesn't have credits in the bank yet. So sacking Thomas Tuchel was the first big thing he did. Which...
is a statement. I respect it.
It's a statement. But at the same... I can't even say... I
respect it.
The thing is that, you know what? They had doubt about it. The thing is that you can't expect... you cannot expect Tuchel to do all the things that they expected him to do.
Yeah, but sacking Thomas Tuchel is a statement. going out and getting Graham Potter is another statement. And it's a statement that you know what you're doing. You know what you're building. You know...
Apparently, he's been talking to Graham Potter for
a while. You know where you want to take... You know the visions you have for this football club. And if you think Potter is the person to take you there, why wait 2 years? Why not get him in now?
Well, apparently, I wanted to sack him in the summer, which I understood that. Someone said, when did you sack him, son?
Sorry.
I'm just saying, imagine waking up in the summer and opening your phone and seeing Thomas Tuchel sacked. How would that feel? But they saw it. They timed him. They listened. I remember I was listening to Talking Tactics podcast. They were saying something. Daniel Tuchel, he said this once. He said, Americans tend to always want to bring in their guy. They always want to bring in their guy. That's why
Granovskaya. Just American. Businessmen in general always want to bring in their guy.
Exactly. And it's a business. Follow Granovskaya, Peter Cech, Bruce Bock, all of them left. But the thing is that they left Tuchel to hang. It was destined that Tuchel was not going to remain this job.
Regardless,
on the field and off the field, it was. I don't think he was going to remain this job anytime. Like, what's the difference between sacking him? To me, what's the difference between sacking him then, like when he got sacked, which was like 2 weeks ago, and sacking him? Sorry, is this not international break?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Regardless, though, I think it's a bold statement. It's a statement that I can get behind specifically because, I mean, you can't tell me. They hired Potter 24 hours after they sacked you.
No, they've been in talks with this.
They knew what they were doing.
The thing is that Potter has been in talks with them for a long time.
And if I can get behind sacking Thomas Tuchel for Graham Potter.
Oh, I can. I can. I think we've raved about Graham Potter a lot on this thing. His English and that first game I saw him dress, I was like, this guy wants this.
Potter.
But when you see like where he came from, I thought he was one of those managers who never had a playing career, but he had a playing career. He wasn't really working.
Even he's not even from Brighton, from his days. I remember he came to the Emirates and absolutely destroyed us with a team whose population is lower than the capacity of the Emirates.
Oh, Östersund.
Östersund,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely destroyed us in Wenger's last season. Went to Swansea, had a really good stint.
I'll never forget that game, Swansea and Man City. It was 2-0, then City. That was the 18-19 season when City was moving mad or something like that. Literally, that was when I didn't even know that was Graham Potter that was the manager, but when they said, oh, that's Swansea, I remember that game knowing that Swansea were on fire. It's just that Man City were crazy.
He had a really good stint.
He went to Swansea. University too.
He went to University of Leeds.
I know he coached something about University of Leeds. He worked at University of Leeds or something. Or he coached Leeds. Leeds, he started from 19 in English football. That's where it is. Worked with the University, worked with the Ghanaian women national team as well too. So like you can see someone that, you know, I'm always of the ideas that managers who have done their time and he has something degree in human.
Just side note. Whoever decided to put Aston Villa versus Southampton on TV deserves to be fired.
Oi. Oh, because of work, your managers doing their time, eh?
It was so... The game in general was so bad. It was so... It was terrible.
Yeah, it was. I think Aston Villa won, right?
Yeah, 1-0.
Oh, my God. I just... Stevie G. But also, Nottingham Forest Club.
That was a crazy game.
You know... We'll come back to Chelsea. But the idea of signing 21 players in your first season coming into the Premier League never, ever sat with me because, again, do you know what? It's a compact season. What is the time? Do you know how long it takes to build, what they call it, build relationships with players on the field? It's a compact season, less time on the training ground. All of these situations.
And you can go out there and sign 6 to 8 players.
10 is
that will improve your team. 21, that's a squad overhaul.
And I know they lost 11 players, but 21 players. The thing is that quality out of nowhere might.
Yeah, but it's not like they are signing players with extreme quality, though.
Not Serge Aurier.
Serge Aurier is trash.
Huh?
Serge Aurier is trash.
Yeah, he's one of the 21 players.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like they're signing players with extreme quality. I like Awoni. I like Emmanuel Dennis. I like Jesse Lingard.
Gibbs-White.
I like Morgan Gibbs-White, even though they might have overpaid, but that's about
Renan
it.
Renan Lodi.
I like Renan Lodi. But in general, I just think 21 players is too much, man. It's too much. I don't think we've seen a spot where a team...
Coming from the bottom. Coming from...
No, like, not even just... No, even if you're at the top,
yeah.
When you overhaul,
you know,
it's not going to look good.
You know a team that did that once?
Once.
That did around like 9-10 players?
Hmm.
Tottenham. When they lost Gareth
Bale. Bale.
And it was look a good. Struggle.
It's not even just a football team. In every single sport,
yeah.
When you're at the top and you do a hook and you do a overhaul. Yeah. An overhaul. Sorry. And you do an overhaul, it generally doesn't look good. You think of the Lakers in 1920 when they won the chip, did an overhaul, Dennis Schroeder, Marcus Gasol, all these people lost in the first round. People say it's injuries, but at the end of the day, they still lost. It just doesn't make sense. Like, most of the teams we've seen come up and have good seasons in their first season, like stuck with their core.
Yeah, they had like 5 to 7 core players.
You look at Sheffield United, their first season. Leeds. You look at Brentford, what they did from last. They stuck with their core.
They stuck with their core.
Wolves from their first season back in Premier League.
Neves and all those guys.
Yeah,
well,
you stick with your core.
21 players is like, you know, I know fans are excited about signings and they're outrageous.
This is outrageous.
Steve Cooper might be in trouble soon. He doesn't know, but let's finish up on Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Graham Potter?
Probably not this season.
But season.
But from next season, they're going to be a real problem.
And you know, maybe because I see Todd Bowley's long-term vision, and I get it. I get his long-term vision.
Of clubs are in good hands.
I get what he's doing in Chelsea. And he may not come it cannot come this season, it may not come next season. But my fear is, please. In fact, you know what? I don't fear. Graham Potter can get started. We get another job quickly. Everybody knows this thing. But my issue is that if will Chelsea stick with him, because during his time in Brighton, there are times Brighton will not mean for it. Sorry, a month, 2 months.
But I think that was down to quality.
Quality?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, but those things will happen.
Hmm.
To bring
Arteta, so especially well, they have Aubameyang. He could be the difference maker.
I don't know about that.
Listen, Brighton created chances and had nobody to kill it off. Aubameyang is a certified bags man.
I mean, like, I just... okay, sure. I'm not... He's a certified... Can we say still a certified bags man?
I mean...
He's 33. Well,
I don't like the fact that he went to Chelsea, but I'm not going to disrespect him just because he did that.
I'm not disrespecting. I'm just like... I don't know what to expect.
We saw what he was doing last season, though.
In Barcelona.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. Okay, sure. But I think Amanda Broha might actually be that guy.
Yeah.
And I think...
That's why he kept him. Gave him a 6-year contract. I'm telling you...
Todd Bowley has that.
Chelsea fans should be excited about this Bowley guy. I don't say it a lot, but... Obviously, I was taking a mick during the transfer window because he was just trying to steal everybody's target lift. But...
You know, when he did that Chukwuemeka deal,
investing in Milan, youth.
And he knows Omari Hutchinson too as well. And the guy, and he knows,
please,
and he knows what comes from Cobham. That's Chelsea's academy every season.
I respect it.
He knows the players. Rafael Leao, he's interested in Rafael Leao. He'll go back into it. He'll go back in there looking for a midfielder.
I also think it's low-key an American thing as well. Obviously, aside Liverpool. Liverpool are the only ones who have really built with an American owner without really relying on the academy.
Yeah.
Because you think of how things work in America. You're a bad team, so you get the first overall pick in the draft, and then you develop with a kid, and then that kid ends up reaching the heights you had set or you had expected that he would get to, and probably making your team a contender or something. Look at what I say this a lot. Arsenal saved themselves almost 100 to 200 million with the likes of Saka, Smith Rowe, even though we ended up spending money on him. Saliba, because if we're buying him now, that's a ridiculous amount of money.
Even Martinelli, too.
Martinelli, 6 million. Marquinhos. Shout out for Marquinhos. Cargill.
That's the guy that found, what do you call it?
Martinelli. Yeah, so it low-key feels like an American thing. And I think Todd Bowley, in, you know, putting faith in the youth academy, as well as hiring Graham Potter, I just think Chelsea is in good hands as of right now.
Yeah, I don't see a
situation. And we're going to expect to see less chaos from Chelsea going forward. But
if that is the question, are they patient enough?
It's a totally new regime.
Are they patient
Let's
enough?
Stop looking at Chelsea in the eyes of Abramovich.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not. Listen, this is ownership. You have to understand that. Are these owners patient enough? Because we don't, have nothing to hold on to say that.
Abramovich experienced quick success at Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who wasn't delivering up to his expectation, that's the door.
Mm-hmm.
But Boley has experienced nothing at Chelsea.
Yeah.
So he has nothing to say, oh, I've done this under my management. Why, you know, you're not reaching the level I expected. It's the same thing with Arsenal. They have not experienced
anything yet.
Any level of success under the Cronkies. Which is another reason I think Arteta was able to get through those two bad storms he went through.
That's November, December. November
2020 run.
Jesus Christ.
And last season. And
I really thought that guy was going to get sacked back then, bro.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyways, let's try and round up on the last thing. All-Star game. Again, I like how the what do you call it? The beginning started the same. We're ending the same way. What is wrong with an all-star game? Gary Neville.
It just shows how boring you British people are.
Gary Neville said they should go and bring
man like Gary Churchill.
I love that thing, bro. Gary Neville said they should go and bring what they call it.
They should start regulating American owners.
First of all, I don't want to speak.
It's not like he recommended a draft. A man said, and he was doing. It was a good plan. Bro. He said to help grassroots level in terms
of
generate funds. Yeah. Yes, to trickle down. That's a solid. And who doesn't want to see? Who doesn't want to see KDB, Salah, Arnold, Haaland? Luis Diaz. Who doesn't want to see all of them on the same team?
For everyone saying that it's going to reduce competition, fam, these players are friends. They're all going on vacations together.
I mean, it's not like when they show any form of character, you guys get behind it anyways.
Bro, these players are all friends. They support each other. Raheem Sterling is a United fan. That's one thing people don't understand.
Sterling and Sancho doing YouTube videos together on England.
Like, all of these things. England's national team. They are all friends. I'm just saying that. Wow! If there's an all-star game, we are flying out there, bro. To do what? I think is that I was reading more on ideas and everything. It's like everyone's like, it's just gonna be Man City players in the all-star game in the basketball. You know more about basketball. What are the situations? They have limit on the amount of players you can get from a team.
No, really. But I don't think people are going to want to make it all Man City. Players.
So, like, there are ideas that you can do this. But
there are ways you can. Every team should have at least one player. Exactly. That's a way to do it.
Or maximum of three players from each team.
If you think that's a problem, that it's going to be almost, you can regulate it.
Maximum of three players.
It's not like it's the NBA where these things like all-star games can determine whether or not you make an all-star team can determine whether or not a bonus is added to your salary. Literally, it's just for vibes, and then the money it will generate. But the money it will generate. But you know, contracts in the NBA are different.
Oh, yes.
So the money it will generate and the trickle down effect it will have on the. He said they made $260 million from the baseball All Star game. How much do you think football will make? Football is much more of a global sport. And sell out Wembley instead of doing Community Shield, do an all-star game, North versus South.
You know what I even said? So I was even trying to say, you know how they do the celebrities game? They literally do that already.
Soccer aid. Like, literally, if you want to get an idea of how an all-star game could be, it's soccer aid.
You guys are just boring. Like, you guys are boring. I could not.
The only understanding, the only thing that really made me question, okay, maybe this might not, maybe I get the point, was there are only too many games. But also, I told myself that it's a friendly.
Fam, it's one game. If you want anybody who watches the All-Star game in the NBA, the lane is wide open. That's why you have guys bouncing the ball and doing 360 dunks in the All-Star game. Saliba is not going to make a 50-yard recovery tackle in an All-Star game. It's an All-Star game. It's for you to go out there and have fun. Plus, it's for Richarlison to be able to do pickups so without having people complain.
30 minute games. If you want to limit the amount of players are doing,
you can make it a 1 hour game. Like there's so many things.
Even tell players play 30 minutes. You're coming off. You're playing
so many things you can do, or you can sub players on and off. Like this, there's so many things you can do.
I've never seen to make this
come through. You guys are just boring, especially Gary Neville. This is the same way he turned back into Winston Churchill when they were doing five Premier League subs. Bro, please, man. I don't think he was in, if I remember well, he wasn't in support of five Premier League subs.
I was so confused. Like, because I don't check.
They were planning coup d'etat on English football.
Bro! Yeah, but the one thing they said was like, Todd Bowley, the way he said it, he said they could take a lesson.
It's not a lesson. He said they
take a lesson from American sports. You don't come into a country and
you
just...
You can take a lesson from American sports and
there's the way he said
but
it.
But this is not the first time we've heard about the All-Star game.
You know who first said it once?
Lukaku has said it before.
Lukaku has said it. Rio Ferdinand has said it too.
Ferdinand, yes, he said it when he was watching the MLB All-Star game. Like, bro...
I know there's Todd Bowley does not have a lot of credit in the bank.
I don't expect who is the craziest defender in the Premier League. Let me just use Davinson Sanchez. If Davinson Sanchez were to make an all-star team, I don't expect him to be sliding two-footed into a challenge on Phil Foden, because that is not the concept of an all-star game. Literally,
it's fun.
It's just for fun. It's fun for both the players and the fans.
Like, it's fun. Bro, like...
as far as I'm concerned, an All-Star game in football is meant to end 11-10 or 12-15. Something of that nature. Please. All-Star game, I expect... Let me see Ederson to get the ball and try and dribble from his own post to the other post and score.
Or Ederson in midfield.
It's just something crazy like that. Like, it's just for fun.
Like,
Can you stop being stuck up individuals? Please.
The British kill me.
Let yourself go.
The British kill me. And
Because of All-Star game, these guys turned it into political awareness month.
No, but... I've never... this man really said independent, but I was just like, bro... I don't think they have watched an All-Star game then.
Lori All-Star game.
Independent body, the America. And it's giving... Sorry, why did I say... It's giving xenophobia, bro. I don't know why I had to say... It's just giving xenophobia. Sorry to use my one lingo.
I just think it's utterly ridiculous. I think the reaction to the All-Star game just sums up every single thing we complained about, with people complaining about Vinicius dancing, people complaining about Arsenal celebrating when they are winning, people complaining about Richarlison doing kick-ups. Every single thing, the reaction certain members of the English media had to the suggestion sums up everything we had said at the beginning of
Shout out my brother Pogba too, man. These are the... Let's never get to Pogba. Well, hope you're good. But yeah, do we have any other thing? I think we're good. Yeah. Oh, we did good for time. But thank you guys for listening. We'll be back after the international break. Big shout out to Arsenal. Big shout out to Napoli as well for winning today.
Yeah.
Who was? Yeah. PSG, they're doing the normal madness again. They won shout against Lyon. Shout out Son.
Haaland.
I'm tired of that game.
You know, big up everyone who's had a good week in the football world.
Pep, keep cooking.
Teta, keep cooking.
Arsenal, title race.
And we'll see you in the next episode of the Highline Podcast.
Take care.
Bye. Have a lovely week ahead of you. Bye.
Bye.